Hello, it's Denise from Women Beyond a Certain Age. We have our returning guest, our life coach, Stacey DeVerde, with us. If you haven't listened to the other broadcast, I want you to go there right now. I don't know what's stopping you, what obstacle you put in your way, because there is so much information that is helpful, I think, to everyone. And it really, at any age, okay? And Stacey makes this point because our brains, oh my God, they're so magical, and also sometimes they're lazy in repetition. I love that you wrote that, Stacey, in one of the handouts I read in one of your newsletters. And hello.
Hi, Denise. I'm so happy to be here again and to do this podcast with you. I'm very honored that you asked me again. And yeah, it's so excited to be here.
Well, I'll tell you this, so people know, Stacey has a website. We talked in the last broadcast about a downloadable questionnaire. And Stacey is a life coach, but more than that, she's a holistic life coach. She's been a chef for 30 something years. That's how I met Stacey. We probably met, was it PCN, Personal Chefs Network, or one of them, USPCA? We met at one of them.
Yeah, it was actually at the Personal Chefs Network convention. You were at either, I don't know which one you were at, Chicago or Las Vegas.
Oh yes.
I don't know which
And
one it was, but
I
it
don't
was.
either.
You were there doing you were a speaker there.
Okay.
And yeah, you were
So,
doing your food styling.
okay. Anyway, I've known Stacey for a long time. So when I discovered through social media that she was branching out and doing life coaching. And when we say life coaching, you guys, you have to go to her website, you have to get on her newsletter list. Because this is a woman who has really done some research into human behavior and how we can all help our own human behavior. That's what I think of. See, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the ball is in your court. We
Yeah.
don't all, you know what I mean? I know from my own life that I had to make my own chases, but by have my own changes, but by having guides. And see, you're someone who I think of as a guide. Do you know what I mean? I've had mentors, I've had guides,
Yeah.
I've had therapists, I've had doctors, I've had good friends. Well, I think we need all of those things. Okay.
Totally. I totally agree with you that you do need all of those things. You need a lot of support.
A lot of support. I thought one of the cutest things, and what we're going to talk about this time, though I want you to everyone to have listened to the previous broadcast if you can, and also go to her website. I got this newsletter from Stacey this week, and I loved it. It said, "Hi, let's unpack a very important topic because victimhood recreates the same crap you don't want. Empowerment creates the results you do want." And you know why it just hit me, Stacey? It's like you slapped me, was because they're one coin and it's two different sides.
Yeah.
Okay,
So
for mine visual, it's the same quarter. It's just depending if it's heads or tails.
yeah.
And that was the way you put it was so clear to me. And so I always like to think, for me, and then I want you to discuss this, the problems that come from your feelings of victimhood. But I know this, I try not to be a victim, okay, in my own mind. I try not to. One of the things I've found out about being a grown-up is if I feel wronged, I have to look at what my part in the relationship was, okay?
Yeah.
And also, I hate being a victim because when I'm forced with it on the other side of it, when I have to do deal with people that act like victims, I hate them.
Yeah, it's
I
you
hate them.
can it's very difficult to get out of it. And so being in victimhood is a kind of like a very triggering thing, depending on what you considered like a victim. And I feel like I don't want to talk about like the traumatic victim of, abuse
No.
of in that sense, even though that is totally
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. And it's really, you know, you need to work through that. You need to have a licensed therapist to really process that victim mentality that gets developed unconsciously. So it's like you develop. So, but even if, like we were talking about on the other podcast about how you grew up. So you develop these coping mechanisms and these defense mechanisms that are still prominent today in your life. It's unconscious. And, you know, so a person that is constantly justifying why their life is the way they are is part of the victim mentality in plain and simple English. So even in, you just talked about it before, saying when you wanted to be an adult, I think you said, or so it's called like emotional adulthood, taking full responsibility for what you're creating in your life, because you are responsible for your own feelings. You're not, you know, you're not, other people are not creating your feelings. And growing up, we also have taught, I mean, how many times has, you know, like you're told that you're hurting Jane's feelings, or you're give them a pony. Even my own kids, like with, you know, it was a big thing growing up, is like they were never meant to deal with their emotions. We're not taught that. And so you develop these coping mechanisms, and you have this victim mentality that you don't go around wanting to be that way. You don't go around saying like, oh, I'm, you know, like I have this victim mentality, but so many times you have these circumstances that keep on coming at you, that you think that you become victim to these circumstances. You think that is the cause of why you can't do something or whatever. So you really have to give yourself a lot of self-love, a lot of compassion. And I have to say that the reason why I wrote this letter was because of myself. I kept on seeing myself still like kind of like holding on. Like every time I would want to do something, something else was happening. And then something else was happening. But you got to realize that you were also creating this. I'm a huge believer in the law of attraction. But it's not just like about thinking. It's like, you know, the energy that you are in, you know, and in when you're in victim mentality, you could have a very strong resistance to change, because it's a dysregulation to your body. And sometimes even as a victim, and I want to go back here maybe a little bit to, that's why I called it, I think, unprocessed stress or unprocessed emotions.
Yes.
And they get stored in your body, in different organs, believe it or not. They like, it's your emotional body. And so it's like there's a great resistance, and you have like a lot of low energy cycles, like living in that way. And it's like you're just keeping yourself in this little safety box, because you're just so afraid to move past it. So like it's like your ego. It's like it's constantly keeping you right where you are. And if you can't take yourself out of that story and really see that it's like just a story that you're attaching to, it's like instead of empowering yourself from your true self and, you know, really recognizing that, okay, so you might have the circumstance happening, but it's not preventing you. You're preventing yourself. And if when you, like, you got to get out of the story of that victim mentality to really recognize that you're just living at the effect of your life. You're living at the effect of your circumstances instead of being in charge of it, being your own boss, you know?
Now, I can so relate to this, Stacey, and on a very, but let me tell you, and here's a simple, and when I heard myself, so I decide to retire. My husband and I moved to Ventura. I'm not going to have the studio anymore. Cindy's not going to come every day. I mean, this was a conscious decision. We were moving on.
Right.
Now, when I got here, so we get here, you know, all the stuff that there was, selling both houses, moving everything. So that took kept me busy for like 6 or 7 months and settling into the new house and shutting down the studio and all that. Fine. But then when I was left here alone, I'm not kidding you, in my mind, I kept thinking to myself, well, I don't know how to do that because that's what Cindy did. And Cindy knows I ran on this. I'm embarrassed to say for at least 2 years. Well, I don't know how to do that because Cindy's not here. Now, my husband, of course, got a little tired of hearing me say, I don't know how to do that because that was Cindy's job. And yeah, said to me very nicely, the way he always tries when he's, you know, he's a counselor. He's used to people in crisis. He's used to people.
Yeah.
And he said to me, well, honey, I think you can go to the Apple store and bring your computer in, and you go once a week for a couple of weeks and you'll learn how to do that. And of course I thought, how dare you speak to me like that?
Yeah.
And totally resentful.
Yeah.
I didn't take his advice. So now what I've had to do is I've done some patchwork stuff. Cindy's come once or twice to help me with things. But guess what? I've learned how to do some of the things all by myself, Stacey, because I want to be empowered and not be a crybaby.
Yeah. Yes, it's totally, and it's hard to get out of when you're in, I mean, your circumstance is a little different, but it's hard to get out of it because as the victim mentality, it's like they just want to be in that safety.
Yeah.
And it goes back to your brain and it's protecting you from something. It's protecting you really just from a feeling. It's like for the longest time, I knew that I would, like, nobody likes to be shamed or nobody likes to be embarrassed or whatever. Those are the main emotions that people try to stay away from. You know, it's, that's really underneath all of it. And so it's like you got to know what it is that you're not wanting to face or do or feel. And
well,
really,
I don't want to look stupid to myself and to the whole world. And I also don't want a horrible feeling of failure that I wasn't smart enough to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
if I don't do
it,
if I don't do the things that Cindy used to do, then I can't fail. It's it goes to every single thing you've said about my brain. Do you know what I mean? And staying in a safety zone.
Yeah. So that's what, you know, that's our brain's job. So when you're in this victimhood, you have to give up the blame. And it's so hard to do that when you have a literally like a circumstance, maybe from your past that is. So let me just explain something real quick.
Please.
When you have your past from today and you had something happen that you developed these coping mechanisms and defense mechanisms when you were a child, say. So today, your brain does not know the difference between truth and lie, which is why you can feed your brain any thought that you want. And if you practice it long enough, you could start to believe it. And there's different modalities to do that, but you have to practice it. You just can't like leave it up to the things. So not knowing, so today there's that emotional body that, so if you have that victim, say inside of you as your subconscious, you have your brain and then you have your emotional body. It's like, there's two different things going on. And so like, if you are trying to do something outside your comfort zone, your body might react and it's like going into survival mode in that fight or flight, freeze or fawn response. Like there's that reaction too. And that's coming. So that's like your brain and your body don't know the difference between the present and the past. It just knows, it only knows now, like me speaking to you. That's why, you know, when they talk about the present, just, we only know the present. That is the reason, is because we really only have like this moment. That's really all there is. There is no past. It's just all in our mind.
Yes.
You know what happened.
You're right.
Yeah. And then there's the future and like what you want to be, what you want to, you know, like say you want to write this book or what you imagine this book to be, and like getting into the mentality and then feeling what that feels like. It's like you have to, it's not have, be, do, it's be, do, have. You have to be it and empower yourself. and be that person now that you want to be in the future. That's like how it's done. That's how you create from the future. It's forward thinking. So when you're in the victim mentality, it's like, I mean, we could see each other here, but nobody on the podcast can. But it's like, you have like, it's like, no, you can't go there. And so it's like this victimhood really has a grip on you. It keeps you in resistance. So it really, like, you know, we are all limitless beings. And if we would just recognize is that we have all these things going on in the background, trying to keep us safe and the same, keep our life on repeat. That's our brain's subconscious mind. Like, just, it wants to repeat the past. So the victimhood mentality is, I think it's really hard to get over if you don't recognize
absolutely
that it's there. And I've even had some people that I've coached and they've gotten annoyed with me because they just couldn't see it for themselves. And then they would, like, a week later and be like, wow, you know, that was really, I didn't realize that I was, like, in my own way or whatever. But yeah, so it's hard to recognize when you're in it. And especially if it's really, you've had some, like, trauma or unprocessed stress that you're not even realizing is in the way.
It's very difficult. It's very difficult. You explain that really, really well. And
it comes back to just having your own back and having the relationship with yourself and having that self-love. And I think as a victim, you want to, it's like the victim inside of you, let's just say it's a different fit person. Like, yeah, there's you. And yes, then there's that's trying to just keep everything that it's developed as a defense mechanism in your life. So when you go outside of that and you want to do something that's not, you know, something different, and you have this hold on you, I want to say, it's almost like, I don't want to say it's shadow work, but it's like, it's almost like it has a hold on you.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, it just wants to be heard. And it wants to know that it matters. And, like, once you start noticing and giving it to yourself first, like, all the things that you need that you do for yourself is, like, so important for women, because so often, like you said, with your relationships, it's like you want them to give it to you and you're going to always fall flat. If you want to rely on your husband to give you the things that you need, you're going to be disappointed.
Grossly disappointed. Yes.
Very much so. And like you said, we go back to being, when you said in the other podcast about being married, it's like, yeah, you're gonna, if that is the reason that you're using to make yourself happy, you're going to be disappointed. And it's tough.
When I was in a terrible relationship, terrible, that I would say, Stacy, was I was playing the victim. Okay. There was no doubt about it. I was playing a victim. And I realized it, and I went into a group therapy with a whole bunch of women that were in the same boat. It was a wonderful situation.
Yeah.
When we'd go around the room, there were about five of us, I'd think, oh my God, we're all in the same lifeboat. You know what I mean? Trying to get to shore.
Yeah.
But the reason I was able to make the change was that the biggest thing that came to me out of victimhood. So you think, because I was in that situation, I would be kinder to people that are in it now, but I'm really not. I just get frustrated with them and think, oh, for God's sakes, make a change. I don't have the compassion that you have to be a life coach. But I found that I was really addicted to the pain.
Yes.
See, I was addicted
exactly
to the
what
pain.
It is, you are, it's very hard to get out of when you have a toxic relationship. It's like,
yes,
you keep on, it's almost like a codependency. It's,
oh,
like,
of course it is.
You know, it is, yeah, you become addicted to it. And, or even, I could even say you're almost, you could be addicted, and even, like, somebody that has ADHD, you could be addicted to stress.
Now, absolutely. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. I used to think that calm, peaceful relationships were boring.
Yeah.
So I looked for drama. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then if I didn't find the drama, I could create the drama.
Yeah. So it's
So
interesting
I
that
was
you
in
say
deep.
that.
I was in deep.
Yeah, because that's exactly what goes on. Exactly what goes on. It's like your brain looks for the drama. It looks for the problems. As soon as you wake up, that's its job. Okay, what problems we have? You got to start asking yourself very useful questions. Look for the opportunities. Like, you know, you really have to be on purpose. You can't like just let your brain off on its own device. It will sabotage you.
That's exactly right. And so that took, you know, that was, but the reason, and I mean, I'm not proud of it.
That took you recognizing that you were worth way more than you were
That's
allowed.
exactly right.
Yeah.
And it changed my life.
Yeah.
And then it changed my life, which I always say, well, when you're at the very bottom, you know what I mean? And you're drowning, you either sink or swim. And so at that time in my life, I decided to swim. That's what I, you know, that's all it was. I wasn't going to drown. That was my
Yeah.
decision.
Often very much, you know, you hear it all the time is that sometimes we wait until we're in so much pain before we change. We constantly want the other person to change. And if they're not changing and you don't like it, you don't have to stay. You don't have to
That's
do
right.
anything that, you know, like you have to really recognize our value, it's like a God-given gift that you are 100% worthy, 100% capable, good enough, and that you matter. I think those are the things that go around in our brains and in the victim mentality, never feeling good enough, never feeling like you matter, or whatever how you developed when you were a kid.
Yes.
You know, that could really get in your way when you have these big goals and these big dreams and wanting to do something. And then you have this thing here. It's like this heavy purse holding you down of victimhood, like wanting to keep you out in this thing of safety, which is really what it is. It's developed its own coping mechanisms to keep you exactly where you are. And it's also from the nervous system perspective of, like I said, that survival, you know, like depending on if you have not processed through it, if you've not worked through this, you can have that knee jerk, bodily, emotional, response, I should say. It's just like, you just go straight into survival mode, and it's like you dysregulate your body, and then, you know, you're holding on to all kinds of stress. It's like it's like this big cycle of victimhood, and it's hard to kind of, I think they call it the I was looking at this last week, which has made me write that
your newsletter is fabulous.
My newsletter, and so it was about the drama cycle, drama triangle, and then you have to get out of that. You need to empower yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It has to come from yourself.
Everything, doesn't it?
Yes.
I have to read this from your newsletter because it's so good. Most of us don't even consider we are living from victimhood. We feel justified upon the situations going on in our life, which is why it seems like we have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
The bitter way you feel about your ex. I love that one. The anger you feel when your husband is doing things you think he shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
The, oh my God, how can they keep giving me more work when I'm already time starved in a career? The, I can never get ahead every time some expected car repair happens. The disconnection you feel towards your sister because of what she said and did. The annoyance you feel when your in-laws keep complaining to you. So to me, when you wrote those, Stacey, they're really such commonplace thoughts for everybody. Do you know what I mean? I mean, those are commonplace thoughts. And yet I don't think when we're thinking them, I have said this, this is the only, for myself. And again, I'm speaking for myself because I know everybody has different experiences. At one point, Stacey, I used to have a ton of jokes about my ex-husband. Okay. Now, he's dead. Okay. So one morning, my sister calls and says, Niecy, your ex-husband is dead. She said his name. I didn't even remember who he was for a moment. That's how long I've been divorced. Okay. And disengaged from him. Now, of course, I was bitter when I first got divorced. I was angry. We both were. But years passed and I would make jokes about it. But I really realized that I was boring myself and anyone that would listen to me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That it was who cared and let go of it. So when I hear from sometimes I have people that talk about their ex and I will say, how long have you been divorced? And then they say something like 30 years. I think, oh, honey, you got to let go of that.
Yeah.
You got to get a
So
new.
it's so interesting because you just said it right there. It's like, so I want to point out that the victim part of you that feels victimized for whatever the reason, and it doesn't have to be anything heavy. So I want to just say that, like,
Yeah,
just like I
yeah.
said, you know, but
You're.
it really does come from the old mechanisms that you've come to developed and you are living this life now. So I've totally lost my train of thought
Oh,
there.
no.
So I was just,
It doesn't have to be huge, you were saying. It
yeah.
can be a
So
small one.
your
And
victim, yeah. So the victim part of you wants to be heard and seen and felt and feel like she matters. And so that's why it's like we look outside of ourselves for it and we have to give it to ourselves first. So when you start recognizing, you know, like, even if it's like I said, like a car repair, like, you know, you go to do something and you have all these things happening in your life, you could start to wonder, like, how am I, you know, how is this not causing me to, you know, whatever it is, your money situation or whatever
yes.
it is. So, but when you start unraveling these stories and stop attaching to them and letting them go, you could slowly start to like, they start to dissolving. They start
Yes.
like
Yes.
letting themselves go. So I see this so often with, especially with relationships, with divorce. So many people are so bitter. And I want you to know that anger, I know this is totally off topic, but anger is the secondary emotion anyway. It's really you're hurt and you're upset about it. And so
Yes.
we react in anger instead of processing it. But what happens is that anger gets stored in your liver. And so you have this overexpression of, and that's how you know, you're always like, you're not letting it go. You're still like, but it's because of him, or it's because of that, or it's because of, you know, all of that. So it's unraveling it and letting it dissolve, letting all those little tiny stories go and detaching from them and seeing them for really what they are is like,
Okay,
forgiving
now
yourself is the most important thing that you could do, the
this is,
relationship you have.
and now that is the, you just said another thing, Stacey. I used to say this to myself. I would forgive other people long before I'd forgive myself. Do you know what I mean? I forgave
Yes.
people that did horrible things to me,
Yeah. We have so much judgment on ourselves.
and I let go of it, and then I realized that I hadn't forgiven myself, do you know what I mean? For so many things. And when I did, things got better for me. Now, I
Yeah.
want people to know, because you just mentioned that, Stacey's going to come back soon and talk to us about, because you just, about the stress that all of this does to our organs. And
Yeah.
Stacey had another newsletter on that, because I think that that's why there are. I mean, it's so obvious. Do you know what I mean? It's so
Without a
obvious.
dot, without a doubt.
The highest, look at everyone has got stomach problems and liver problems and migraine headaches. And I mean, there's just, and allergies that we haven't seen. Now
Nope.
people, oh, well, they didn't know about it. I'm not sure that that's the case. Do you know what I mean? I just think that we manifest so much stress on our bodies from the unresolved things that we've been
Yes.
talking about. And I can't wait to hear you talk about it because it's fascinating to me.
Yeah, I would love to talk about that. It's one of the things that I started getting into the holistic health coaching in the first place, in the beginning, before I became a life coach. But yeah, would love to
Honey,
speak about that and our
I
health.
feel, thank you so much. for coming today.
Thank you. It's been such an honor. And I love the Woman Beyond hashtag that you always use.
Oh,
and
well, you know what?
Grateful to be a part of that.
You know what? I think, and there's so many people, we have had so many guests that have, you know, there's so many things that people say. I think that the years between 60 and 80 for women can be absolutely glorious and also prosperous. Do you know what I mean?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
It's all on your mind. Now I'm 73. I'll be 74 in May. And yet I've never felt better, Stacey, yeah, in lots of ways.
Well, I would have never imagined that you were 73, Denise.
I'm 73, 74. But the thing is, I've had time to process stuff and time to take better care of myself than I ever did when I worked 60, 70 hours a week. So yeah. I think that most women, we get relegated to the dusty old shelf because we no longer fit what, you know, in yeah. Hollywood, they call it fuckable. I'm sorry. The way to say it. In Hollywood, after 39, you're no longer fuckable, so they put you on the shelf. But in reality, we're just getting started.
Yes, totally. And like I was saying, there's no definition between the beginning, the middle, or the end. There is literally just now, and you could start anytime and make yourself a priority. And like, it's aging does not have to be this total settling, mediocre life.
I agree.
That I think society just goes right into, like, you know, it's time to retire, hang it up, and just live this ho-hum little life, keeping yourself small. So I love that you're still doing the things that you love and you're writing another book. I have your other book, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, we're going to end there because nobody can say it better than Stacey just said it. So you go to our Facebook page, Cindy broadcasts all the information, tells us where how to get in touch with Stacey. If you want to reach us, it's womanbeyond@icloud.com. Thank you, Cindy, for keeping the train on the tracks. And Stacey, give us your website one more time so that people will know where to go.
Okay, it's www.StaceyDiverde.com. StaceyDiverde.com.
I can't stress enough to people that they should go and peruse her website. And Stacey's offering some really a service to, I think it's not limited to just women, but I think it's bent towards really helping women of beyond a certain age.
Yes.
All right, ladies, be brilliant and have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you, Denise.
Bye.
Bye, Cindy.